The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Last hour here in the middle of the week begins week zero. Matt Baker joining us now from the Tampa Bay Times. It was just 3 years ago this week that Florida was playing in a week zero game against Miami. But today they are celebrating something that they've needed desperately for many, many years. New facilities finally underway, $85 million facility. And Matt Baker is the man who will tell us what it's all about and what impact it will have. Matt, thanks for the time. Great to have you on. And this is a long time coming. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, you're darn right. This is a long time coming. I remember back when Jim McElwain was there, it was 2016, when a bunch of us sat down with some of the administrators, and they were talking about the need to build a football complex. And they were trying, you know, we're going to do it over kind of by the throwing pit, you know, we're on campus where that is in the track facility. And then plans changed, COVID, blah, blah, blah. A lot of things happened. And now 6 years and two coaches later, the $85 million, 140,000 square foot palace is open.
And Matt, I know this is a question you've tackled and others have wondered about, but how does a school like Florida, with the tradition it has, fall this far behind?
So I think there's a couple things. One is it's the idea that Spurrier didn't need this. Urban, to some degree, didn't need it quite to this extent. Why does Will Muschamp need it? Why does Jim McElwain need it? Why does Dan Mullen need it? So I think there's a little bit of that. Some of it is the Gators, you know, the Gators would tell you it's not like they didn't do anything with facilities. It's that they spend it another way. You know, they remodeled the O'Connell Center not too long ago. The Hawkins Center for academics with the players, that was a big deal a few years ago as well. So it's not that they've just been doing nothing. It's just that this hasn't been, or for a while, was not the top priority. And then the other factors, too, in this wave of renovations and facilities with the Gators, you know, softball got some new stuff, new baseball stadium, which paved the way, literally paved the way to have the football complex where the baseball stadium used to be. So there were just other things, because, you know, University of Florida is a school that prides itself, really an athletic department that prides itself not just good at being good at football. They want to be good at basketball. They want to be good at baseball. They want to be good at softball and soccer and everything else. So it's not just put all our eggs in the football basket. It's let's put our eggs in everything else, too.
Yeah, look what happened. How many coaches later we're having this conversation? So you said in your article the excuses are over. They are. Brand new era, new coach. Everybody is upbeat. So tell us how you think this is going to help the Gators.
So there's two things. The first one, which I think is relatively minor, is the recruiting boost. Coaches will tell you, every coach in the country, we need great facilities for recruiting. I have not seen data that really makes me think that's actually true, where a new building opens and you get a big recruiting bump. You go from 20th in the country every year to 10th. I have not seen the data that supports that. Might it help a little bit? Yeah, sure. It's the whole institutional commitment, the bells and whistles, that sort of thing. But I think it might help a little, but not a ton. The big thing is the efficiency. You know, the Gators were saying the other day that, and the way it was a month ago, it took 18 minutes for the team to get from their current facility to walk across the street, past the parking garage, and over to where they actually practice. Now it's going to be just a fraction of that. So you take 18 minutes each way, add that up, 5 days a week, over the course of a season, the course of a spring, the course of summer stuff. My back of the envelope math, more than 60 hours over the course of the year was spent in transit. That now is going to be a fraction of that. That's 60 more hours they can spend trying to figure out not how to, or how to avoid jumping off sides and false starts against Kentucky, trying to line up correctly against Alabama, trying to not blow coverage in overtime against Missouri. 3-1 score losses that if those go differently, Dan Mullen might still be the head coach. So that's just kind of the practical example of how efficient it is, that maybe that's going to show up on the scoreboard at some point. Maybe.
Matt, fans are optimistic. If they aren't optimistic about a new coach, you got serious problems. But should they be this high on Billy Napier after watching the transition that you have seen?
For 2022, no. For 23 and beyond, yes. I look at this roster. It's not a spectacular roster by SEC standards. It just isn't. If Anthony Richardson plays out of his mind like a first-round pick, which is completely possible, then, yeah, Florida can be pretty good. We're pretty good by this standard right now is 8-4 is what I would say because the schedule is pretty darn tough. But there's not a lot of playmakers at receiver that I've seen. It's not a deep roster by any means. So if they have some bad injury luck or maybe Tennessee is better than I'm giving them credit or that sort of thing, maybe LSU comes on really strong by then under Brian Kelly, then you could see 5-6 wins. I've said 7-5. I feel more like 6-6 at this point. So I think that's kind of the short term just for by way things are. But the way Billy's recruiting well in this 23 class, the way I think he closed well, all things considered, in the 22 recruiting class, his pedigree, what he did at Bama, now you add the facilities in there. 23, 24, yeah, I think Florida could be pretty good. It's just I don't know that it's going to show up immediately and definitely not week one against Utah.
Matt, I know Gator fans are tough on people like you when you make honest evaluations.
No.
And so I'm curious, when you make a statement like that, you get reaction. I know you're professional and you can't be as concerned as some in the industry about what the negative nabobs of negativism are saying on Twitter, but what do you hear from fans when they say, I know you're other than all the personal attacks, what is their response in terms of credible opinions about why the Gators are going to be 9-3, 10-2, even 8-4?
So if I'm going to make that argument, the argument I've heard from fans, first of all, Utah's really good, but Utah is playing in the swamp in front of what should be a great crowd in early September. The humidity is going to be 1,000%. That's a tough matchup for Utah, just in terms of that. So if you're going to make the argument for why Florida should win that, those factors into it. But the other thing, like I said, it's Anthony Richardson. Plain and simple. You know as well as I do, Paul, that in this sport, if you have a quarterback, that's more than half the battle. And we have seen flashes of Anthony Richardson being the most talented quarterback Florida's had since, what, Cam Newton? Tebow? I mean, it's been a while since they've had somebody who can run like him and who can throw like him. So if Billy Napier can unlock that, and if Anthony Richardson can take a step forward from being a guy who's shown flashes of it to doing it consistently week in, week out, making the right read, making the right decision to tuck and run, all that stuff, then yeah, Florida can be pretty darn good. I would not bet on that yet just because we haven't seen it. Anthony Richardson's got one start. I think it's 39 career completions. I don't have enough yet. I don't have a sample size big enough yet to make me really believe that it's going to happen. I need to see more first.
So you mentioned Richardson. Give us a name on this football team, maybe on both sides of the ball, that would have to play a critical role to elevate your rather pessimistic prediction.
Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver transfer from Arizona, is definitely one. The receiving core, it hasn't wowed me. I think they have some good players, but I don't see a Trayvon Grimes. I don't see a Kadarius Toney. I don't see anybody like that. They've got size, but they don't have the explosiveness and twitch necessarily. Ricky can do that. He showed flashes of it at Arizona State, where he was one of their better receivers. And from what I've seen in this camp, he's got that explosiveness. He's also been limited by injury. So, again, that's kind of another reason why I'm a little pessimistic on the Gators. On defense, I guess I'd probably say Jerron Dexter, just because he's got a ton of talent. He's got the size. He's got the strength. He's got all that stuff. He was a five-star recruit for a reason. But he hasn't quite put it together yet either. He's still relatively new to football. It's not like he's been playing it his whole life. But if the Gators can continue to mold him and develop him into getting close to that potential, then they've got a very disruptive force on the D-line, which you can never have enough good D-linemen.
Great stuff from Matt Baker as the Gators get ready for Utah on week one. Matt, many thanks. It's always great to hear from you.
You too. Thanks, Paul.
Great stuff. I mean, I always love a guy who covers a team, give an honest prediction. I mean, how rare is that? in this world that we live in, that someone lives in a tough state like Florida that's willing to say, I think 6-6, knowing your name is going to be roasted by Gator fans. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Fibber, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Hey, hi. This is Fibber McGee from over at Carrollton. Hey,
wonderful.
I'm going to share with you a little bit about what you think about Nick Saban, man. What do you think? Everybody thinks he's the greatest of all time. That's a bunch of bull malarkey, Paul. What do you think about it?
Well, I agree with that that assessment that he is the greatest of all time. I'm really interested in why you don't think he is.
Well, I just don't think, Paul. I think since he's been at Alabama, he's let so many of the – he gets all the best players year after year after year. I think with my coach and rec league football experience, I could win national championships with his players.
Yeah, you know, Fibber, Steve Spurrier said that to me once. I ran into him, and he said, how does Alabama ever lose when they get all the great players? And
absolutely.
You know what, Bo? My argument back is you get those players. That's the most important thing in recruiting is getting the players on your campus. And it is a fact that the season after Nick Saban arrived, which would have meant the final class of the previous coach, one of the final classes, Alabama didn't have a single player drafted. So he inherited garbage. And he turned it into six national championships and three other into nine national championship game appearances.
Well, there again, I agree. I think he's one of the greatest recruiters. I think he's one of the greatest head coach bosses there is. But you know, Paul, I think his success has come from his assistant coaches all these years.
And Fibber, if I could ask you a question, if you're hiring a football coach, if the two of us are, say the athletic director at any school, and you know we're looking for somebody, and we say, okay, we need somebody, we like this guy, he's a great recruiter, but he's made some terrible personnel decisions in terms of hiring his staff. I don't want the guy. I want a coach who can recruit and who has an eye for talent as an assistant coach. I remember. Talking to Pat Dye one time, who I think is one of the greatest SEC coaches ever, and I asked him, I said, I was sitting on his porch, And I said, what was the secret to Coach Bryant? And he said, Coach Bryant didn't coach players. He coached the assistants.
Absolutely.
But you have to have good assistants to be successful.
Oh, yes, and I think Nick Saban's had some of the best assistants of anybody in college football.
But Fibber, how did they get there?
Well, his great picking them out. I mean, I think he's the greatest of that kind.
So he's the best recruiter, and he's the best picker-outer of assistant coaches. Then what's he not good at?
Oh, I'm not saying he's not good at anything.
What else has he done that would prohibit him from being considered the greatest ever?
Well, I guess everybody just looks at being the best recruiter and the best teacher of coaches. Maybe that's what they call the greatest coach of all time. Maybe I'm looking at it a little different.
Okay, let me Fibber. If Saban isn't the greatest of all time, who is?
Oh, well, I'll tell you who. One of them, I think, was Steve Spurrier. Steve Spurrier could go anywhere and win, and he never had the talent like Nick Saban had. You know, I may be wrong, but that's just kind of the way I see it.
Well, no, I think Steve would agree, the greatest accomplishment of his career was at Duke.
Yeah, isn't that something? Well, anyway.
Okay, Fibber. I'm glad you called. It's always fun to get a different perspective. Trey is up next.
Paul, what's that guy's name? Fibber?
Fibber.
Yeah, that was a big fib he just come out with, I can tell you, Paul. Let me ask you this question. Saban don't get – there's not much, in my opinion, let's see if we agree on something. There's not much difference between class ranks 1 through 5. What we're talking about, maybe 1 or 2 5-stars compared to not that many. I don't know. But what's going on with Ohio State? They're always up there with all those great players. How come they haven't won it since 2014, Paul?
I know that's a shot that people say, but if the most important thing is recruiting and you're saying, well, he gets all the players, then you're defeating your own argument.
Well, I agree with you, but Paul, just a lot of those, look at the players that you lose during the year. There's that one receiver that people got all over Saban. I can't remember his name. And he went to Texas. Now he got in trouble, and he's gone from Texas. And Saban called him out, and everybody jumped on Saban because he threw his players under the bus. And then look what the player turns out to be. But that's not the reason I called. I just think that's the stupidest argument anybody can make. Coaching, I think coaching a lot of great players is one of the hardest things you can do as a coach, to coach a ton of talent, because you've got to make them all happy or they're leaving. But anyway, Paul, I want to talk to you about this bet with Auburn in 5.5 game. I'm thinking about making that bet. Can we pull up their schedule and let's see where I can find 6 wins, Paul? Because I got them right at about 6. And then, I want to tell you something else too. When you do your show on Football Saturdays, when you have Tebow and all that, and you have the fans out there with the signs and all. And I think last year y'all dumped the ice bucket over the person
with the best fan.
Well, you know what you should do, Paul? You should take that player that gets the ice bucket dumped on them and let them come up there on stage and be the guest picker for Saturday. That's what y'all should do. That would really do well for your show, have a guest picker.
We need one. You're right. There is a guy that picks the games at the very end of the show, but he's part of the format. He's not a guest. Okay, well, the Auburn schedule, we'll call it up for you. And it starts off pretty soft. Mercer and San Jose State, and then Penn State, Missouri, LSU, and Georgia. That's the first half of the season.
4-2, maybe? 5-1. I say 4-2.
Okay, and then you at Ole Miss, Arkansas, at Mississippi State, Texas A&M at home, Western Kentucky, and at Alabama.
Ooh. That's tough. Can you find 6 wins in there, Paul?
I can. Don't ask me where, but I can. Wilson Trey, that's ultimately what Auburn is about right now. Vegas has it at 5.5 because it's hard to find 6. Let's continue with more phone calls. Josh is in Baton Rouge. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
First of all, I have to tell you, my 4-year-old son watches this show with me every day and loves it. He loves the lead-in song, and he runs
you know
around
what,
the
Josh, I don't know your son, but I feel comfortable in saying he's probably the smartest 4-year-old in America.
Exactly. That's why we named him Rowdy Wyatt. But to my question, as I was kind of scrolling through my news feeds today, I saw where it looks like Biden has announced this $10,000, you know, write-off for student loans.
Correct.
So up to $10,000, they'll write off.
Josh, is it my imagination that politicians do that in an election year, or am I just reading too much into this?
This is why I'm kind of calling you, too, because I have a couple questions with it. And I know you're not an attorney, but you do know how to speak the language of law. I've listened to you since you've been on radio. And this is going to affect so many more things, I think, than just wiping off a $10,000 student loan. This is now going to let students, just say for easy talking, be able to get a $20,000 unsecured student loan, and the first $10,000 is free. And I hear that, and I kind of shake my head, and then I start wondering, what's the cutoff for this? When does this stop? Is this like for last year, you know, for prior years, or is this now a new law that's going to be for now on? And in my opinion, this could also affect sports, because instead of having gray shirts, now Alabama, Georgia, which I'm a Georgia fan, all of them could say, hey, man, you can come here. It does not matter. You're not going to have to pay for your first $10,000, which would pretty much cover 2 semesters. Not your food and everything, but the school fees. And I look at all this, and I'm just like, wow. What's your opinion on this?
Yeah, and I must admit I missed all this today. I'll have to double-check and see when the cutoff date is, whether this is ongoing or whether this is for people who have already – taken out student loans. So give us a second on that. We'll get you an answer. But it would open up a lot of avenues, to say the least. David is up next. Hey, David, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I love your show. I'm a truck driver, and show really keeps me entertained. Wanted to ask you if you've hit on this about Eli Gold being sick and missing – going to miss the first part of the season. Really enjoy listening to him call the games. Puts a lot of excitement in it, and I just hated that he's sick, and I just wanted to get your take on that, if you heard anything.
Yeah, David,
I'm
glad you brought that up, because I was at this event the other night, and at the reception before it started, I saw Chris Stewart, who is now filling in for Eli, and before I had a chance to even ask him that, which obviously I was going to, I don't remember what happened. All of a sudden the room changed and I didn't see him. I asked a couple of people, and I still don't really have a good answer on what's going on and when he's coming back. And this is now going on for over 3 weeks, which is very troubling, but I don't want to read too much into the lack of news. But I think we're all pretty hopeful and to see him again would make everybody's day. Thank you for asking about him, and we will take a short break. Back with much, much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, it's been one of those days, and we are prohibited from drinking alcohol while the show goes on. So we have to get our kicks wherever we can. And where I am right now, it's 6:34. I don't know about you, Keith, but I need a drink, and I can't get one. So what about Legend? Legend, make my day.
Woo! I just poured a triple. Woo! I'm sending a bottle of Jack over to you right now, brother. So at 6 o'clock, you can have your ice ready and go ahead and pour it up. Pour it up, baby. Have a drink on me, as ACDC would say, baby. Have a drink on me. Hey, Paul, let me break this down and get this right. You help me here if I'm wrong, okay? So if anybody in the country gets a contract that is more than the great one, the emperor, the president, the man, the myth, the great one, Nick Saban, if anyone makes more than him at any time during his career, his contract instantly gets renegotiated and he gets a raise. Is that what I'm hearing?
Legend, I cannot confirm that absolutely, but remember a month ago when Mike Griffith was frantically breaking into programming with Kirby Smarts, now the top coach in college football? Well, that was premature because Nick Saban now is.
No more.
No.
That's right. And that's only fair, Paul. I mean, let's face it. You the man on the SEC network. If you find out somebody making more than you, guess what? It's time to renegotiate.
Hey, by the way, I'm in the market for a new agent. Would you like the job?
Hey, brother, if I was your agent, you'd be in the Heisman house. I promise you, brother. You should have a better agent than me.
You got it.
Listen,
you're hired.
The only reason today, right now today, the legend ain't the head coach at the University of Alabama, and we got 30 national championships, is because I went to prison when I was 17 years old. If that don't happen, me and you have been knowing each other a long time, and I'm standing on the sidelines in Alabama, baby. That kind of coaching's in me, Paul. That kind of knowledge, that kind of drive, that kind of passion. And I'm telling you right now, that it is well deserved. All these idiots that come on here, all these experts that even want to mention someone in the same category as Nick Saban ought to instantly be pimp slapped. This is why, Paul. The man has produced more first round picks than he's got losses. He's got 20 more losses in 15 years and 39 first-round draft picks, brother. I mean, you can't. Kirby ain't never going to touch that. Dabo ain't never going to touch that. That con man, Bobby Collins at Texas A&M, ain't never going to touch that. There's only one king, and it's friggin' well-deserved, and it's friggin' Nick friggin' Saban. And anytime somebody gets even a penny more than him, guess what? We renegotiating. Woo! We renegotiating, baby. Hey, Paul, loved it with Stephen A. yesterday. You know I'm a big fan of Stephen A. I get some criticism for some folks that don't like Stephen A. But I can tell you right now, man, he do better than Joe Biden. I promise you that.
No, you Legend, I talked to some political people today, and, you know, some of you may have thought that was a joke. I did not. I mean, I was laughing at his bravado, but I think he is capable I think what the country is looking for right now is a new face, even though he isn't a new face, but he's a new face politically. That thing got a lot of coverage, and I think he can win, don't you?
Man, I'd vote for the man. Hell yeah, especially if he put Feinbaum as his running mate. Hell yeah.
No, I don't want to. I want to be behind the scenes. I don't want to go through that scrutiny. Legend, you know me. I can't afford to have my past dug up and all the things that I've done and all the Hollywood starlets that I've dated in my I can't go through that. I don't need some muckraker reporter like I used to be digging through my past. I can't afford that.
No, I can understand, brother. You know I can understand completely, you know.
I want to protect all those young women who are now elderly.
Come on, Paul. Share the truth.
I mean, I don't want some little...
Before you got married, how many girlfriends did you have at one time?
Now, legend, I'll tell you that privately, but I can't tell you that publicly.
Oh, that's right. You married, ain't you, Paul? I gave up on marriage, Paul.
Have you ever been married?
I've been married twice. Both of them lasted 3 years. And after 3 years, the women came to their senses and said, this damn man's crazy.
I mean, legend, I know you pretty well, and it's not that you're not an attractive guy. I mean, we all know you are. It's just that don't know if a woman could deal with you during football season.
Now, that's the problem, Paul, because I was married to this girl. She was a holiness girl. I was in the church. And she was watching me watch an Alabama game, and I slung the remote through the kitchen window, and she lost her religion. She didn't watch another football game with me during our whole marriage. Then the last marriage I had, she said I was too much legend. I done lost Gary completely. I don't even know who he is. I was too much legend. I said, well, they don't tell Snoop Dogg that. That ain't his real name. Woo! I love you, dude. I hope I brought a smile to your face. Peace out, brother. Elvis has left the building.
I promised. Back-to-back Hall of Famers. Jim is next.
Yeah, well, that guy is a complete thug. You know it, and I know it, and so does the fans know it, Paul. He's not going to downgrade me every time. He's not going to bash me, calling me names like he calls me. He's a sticking thug, and I tell you what, I don't care what you think about Stephen A. Smith. If he runs for president, why don't he? Maybe he'll get Legion. That's his name, Legion. Maybe he'll get him as a running back. And you think he's got a chance of winning? I'm serious, Paul. Do you actually think that Stephen Smith, you think he's got a chance of winning the presidency? I don't believe you can honestly say that.
Well, I mean, first of all, you have to get the nomination, as you well know. And
no, I'm just talking about, you think he can possibly, if he got the nomination, you think that clown can win?
Well, I think you're right. Therein lies the problem. You have to get 270, and I think he would struggle to get that.
He wouldn't get over 15,000 votes overall, Paul. I'm serious. That's crazy. I know you suck up to a lot of these people, but that's the biggest suck up I've seen you in history. I'm serious.
I am insulted that you called me a suck up. That's just.
Well, that's what you seem to be doing. I straight shoot. I'm just telling. That's the word for it. That's the word for it, Paul. Take it or leave it. That's the word for it.
Well, I have to. First of all, the most important thing is, who are you running against? So, you don't know. Oh, I mean, you and I have both seen upsets in presidential politics. Not often, though.
Well, I'm just saying, though, you're talking to a moron like Legion, I just can't believe what you've done on this show to downgrade your own character.
Hold on. Now, Jim, I saw what you said earlier about how bad the show is, and that's okay. You're welcome to say whatever you want.
I do think it's bad. Paul, I do think it's bad. I'm not trying to run you down. I'm not trying to make you mad. I think the show's been bad because, just for one reason, because you let these clowns like that last one you just had on the air come on here like they got some kind of authority. That guy couldn't coach Little League decently because he's not a decent person. He has no care. See, that's the one thing about people like him. They talk about how much they know. But Nick Saban's got character. That guy you talked to a few minutes ago, putting me down, he has no character, Paul. What he did to somebody.
Jim, I'm curious about something. Would your definition of character be?
A decent, kind person. And you can say, well, I question your character. Well, I get mad, Paul. I get angry at things like what I just heard a while ago. But I am a decent and really kind, and somebody said this week, loving person at heart, Paul. That guy is not. And Stephen Smith, in my opinion, is all about himself. Full of himself, Paul. That's what I believe. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been told by Christians I'm the best judge of character they ever saw. I'm not bragging. That's what they tell me. And you know how I got that way? God in heaven gave me that. And I'm not bragging about it. But that guy you had on a while ago is as far from being a Christian and a preacher as anybody on earth it could be away from that. And he displays that every day by his actions and his crazy lies and all the things he said on this show, and you allow him to say it without any opposition. That's what burns me up with you, Paul. You've opposed me. You don't oppose him. I'm not going to tell what you said to me about 3 weeks ago about him in an email. That's between privacy between me and you. But you know what you said about him when I got on you about it. You know what you said. I won't say it because I'm not going to jeopardize something that's private. But I'm making my points. And you know what, Paul? I make points very well.
Jim, thank you. We're up against the break. I really appreciate the call and the kind words. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.